This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
In 1 hour, we're going to blitz the NFC East, covering the Cowboys, Eagles, and Giants from their Week 3 games and their Week 4 matchups previewed. Right now, though, your Beltway Blitz moments away here on The Fan, the teams in town you care the most about. The Commanders have a rookie quarterback and a bright future. It is time for you to plan for your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm, Condori & Murad. They can help you update your last will and testament. They'll set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys. KMLawyers.com is where you can go to do that. My parents did, sending my in-laws their way as well. Be sure to tell them we sent you. You're going to get a discount. KMLawyers.com. Let's kick off the Beltway Blitz right now. We begin with our buddy Bobby Blanco of MassinSports.com on the Nationals. So, Bobby, we've not talked to you since the big C.J. Abrams news a few days ago over the weekend. What did you make of their decision to just punt him for the remainder of the season and send him to West Palm Beach?
Yeah, when you start seeing the news trickle out that he's being optioned down at AAA, a lot of red flags pop up because that didn't make a whole lot of sense. The AAA season was ending the next day. If he's injured, you could just throw him on the injured list for the last week of the season. So it was kind of confusing. And then you see the story come out. You see what David Martinez told the media in Chicago. You probably heard Mike Rizzo this morning on your station with the Junkies talking about the situation, and now we know why. And I think it was a good decision by the Nationals. I do believe it came straight from Mike Rizzo. I mean, he famously said, when they DFA'd Sean Kelly, you're either in or you're in the way. And I think this is kind of what CJ did was kind of not totally in the way, but, you know, teetering along those lines. He didn't break any team rules technically. But he was caught, leaving a casino at 8 a.m. while they're on the road before a day game. And you just can't do that. That's not a professional way to act. And the Nationals hold their players to a high standard. I think this is a very young team. I think this is a wave that Davey and Mike could send a message to a lot of these guys and say, hey, this is not acceptable. This is not how we want our players to behave when they're not around the club. Especially in season. I think the frustrating part, too, is that there's only a week left. All CJ had to do was wait 1 week, and he could have done this as much as he wanted. But instead, he's going to be down in West Palm Beach and finishing out the season with AAA. It's going to be a pretty big storyline this offseason and next February as we head down to West Palm for the start of spring training.
Yeah, Bobby, he's a higher-profile player than Luis Garcia, but something similar to Garcia. It wasn't 8 a.m. at the casino, but it was a very hard conversation. Hey, you are out of shape. This is not professional. What you're doing away from the field is not good enough for a major league standard. And he got sent down, and he's having a really good season. He's been unheralded, but he's going to finish close to 20 homers, 20-plus stolen bases. And if they would just play him every day, even against lefties, you might see even more of those stats. But I digress. He hit the ground running, so to speak. I'm still bullish on C.J. Abrams. I think this is a crossroads, and this is a blessing in disguise to a degree that, hey, this is, you're great and you were an all-star this year, but this can all be taken away, and I'm hoping he takes it to heart. What's your prediction for how he will handle it?
Yeah, I'm with you. I first and foremost just hope CJ the person is doing well, and there's nothing going on with him in his personal life. Maybe it was just one bad night, or I guess we now know that it's been a couple of instances, so just a couple of nights where he's just wanted to go out and have a little fun. Hopefully it's not a serious issue, but and if it is, hopefully he finds the help that he needs and gets back on track in his personal life so that doesn't affect his baseball life anymore. But from a baseball standpoint, I mean, yeah, CJ, it's not a direct comparison, but, you know, we saw Luis Garcia Jr. go down at the end of last year. We saw him has to have some tough conversations even this spring training right before the season started. He almost didn't make the opening day roster because he was making some boneheaded mistakes in spring training games. And then now here you are, he's probably their most consistent player of the on the year and having a great season. So, you know, I think my prediction is, you know, it's tough to predict. I think, you know, it's all in CJ's hands. I agree with you. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not mad at CJ. Sure, you can be disappointed, but I don't think this is an indictment on him as a person or as a player. But everything's in his court right now. How does he respond to this? How does he react? He's probably a little upset with himself. Maybe holds some hard feelings against the organization. But, you know, you were caught doing something you probably shouldn't have been doing. You have to pay the consequences. But how does he kind of process this, react to this over this offseason? And does he channel that into a positive way heading into next spring training and have a really good season? That's going to be something to follow.
Bobby, DJ Hurz pitches tonight. He's got a 3.70 ERA since the All-Star break, was 5-1 before the break. He's probably been the Nats' best pitcher in the second half. Now, his last time out, he did actually get hit pretty good for the first time in a long time. Gave up 7 earnings and left in the fourth inning. But his ERA is barely over 4 in 18 starts this year. And this has been a real revelation for them to find this 23-year-old not only in the rotation but excelling. What do you make of his year? And give us a thought on him pitching against a team trying to fight its way into the playoffs tonight in the Royals.
Yeah, he's been a great revelation. You can even add Mitchell Parker to that conversation as well, who had a really strong final start of the season last night, 5 scoreless innings to finish a pretty solid rookie career. But these are two guys that are good player development stories for the Nationals. You know, Mitchell Parker was a late-round draft pick. DJ Hurz was acquired via trade. So these are guys that the Nationals targeted both in their amateur scouting and the professional scouting to bring into the organization. And then from there on, the new revamped player development staff kind of took over and made them into everyday major leaguers this quickly. You know, you can go back to last year. Jake Griffin was that story. Mitchell Parker was, at the beginning of this year, you know, that version of the story. And then now when DJ came up, you know, he was good enough to not only make his debut this year, but stick in the rotation for the rest of the season. Yeah, he's been, I think, by far their best and most consistent starter for this second half. You've seen Jake Irvin kind of get a little exhausted as we get down near the end here. But, yeah, hopefully he has a really strong start tonight, finishes his rookie season strong, and then that go into next year. Now you're talking about him maybe fighting for that fifth starter spot. Obviously, they might add someone in free agency, but they've got some really decent starting pitching depth now because of these good player development stories that they haven't had in a while.
Bobby, thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Welcome home. Cincinnati chili sucks.
Here. Tip of the old cap, Bobby. Good close. Hit that NFL sounder, Darius. All right, Mike Jones of The Athletic to talk about the National Football League. Mike, through 3 games, just as we thought, the Cincinnati Bengals are in last place. San Francisco is also in last place. Just ho-hum, normal things happening the first month of the NFL season.
Yeah, you know, Cincinnati, we've seen them start slowly the last couple years. I don't know that I saw them being 0-3, you know, when they didn't have that first loss of the season. I was like, oh, well, you know what, it might take them a couple weeks. But here they are 0-3 here. I thought that Monday night was kind of a good opportunity for a get-right game going against a defense like Washington's, which has struggled. But, hey, Washington came out there, and, you know, Cincinnati looked better in some ways, but they still aren't quite right. San Francisco, that Super Bowl hangover is real, man. You know, the teams that lose the Super Bowl, it's, you know, the percentage of them making it back to the playoffs is very small. They had some holdouts. Now the injury bug is really getting them all over the place. It's tough going for some of these teams that we thought were going to be competitors or contenders. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. It's a long season, obviously, but you get in too big of a hole like Cincinnati. I think only one team since 1990 has made it to the playoffs after starting 0-4.
Mike, I want to take you to the Cleveland Browns for a moment. Washington plays them in 2 weeks, but I was really surprised by these comments today by Deshaun Watson. And if he was playing better, I'd actually probably applaud them and love them. But he's stunk, and the team has been bad, so it kind of rubs me the wrong way. He was asked about running the ball more to help out in a rushing offense that's bad. I think they're 25th in the NFL. They don't have Nick Chubb right now, obviously. And he basically said, I'm not going to run I'm not a running back. I'm here to throw the football. I'm a quarterback. There's kind of shades of like the 2012 Griffin year you and I covered where he hated, like, anytime he ran, he thought it was an indictment on him as a quarterback. And like I said, I love that Deshaun's a pocket passer who can be an athlete and he prefers to be in the pocket. But when your team's struggling and the offense is struggling, it just rubs me the wrong way that he would go, yeah, I don't want to do that other thing. If it makes us better, that's not why I'm here. What do you make of all that?
Yeah, I mean, Deshaun Watson doesn't have a lot of credibility with anything that he says now, you know, whether it's, you know, his play or anything about him. I mean, because he should be happy to be on the field and that a team wants him to try to do something to help them win. You know, obviously, yeah, you would like to be able to sit back and throw, but you have an offensive line that's really beaten up. You don't have, you know, Nick Chubb, a special running back. And if that's what it takes to put you in more third and manageable situations, you know, yeah, you should be happy to run and do whatever you got to do. I haven't heard anybody, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. You think Josh Allen wants to be running all the time? Josh Allen, you know, is out there doing whatever it takes. So I just don't like the attitude, the entitlement. He's talking like he's a superstar, and he hasn't been a superstar in a long time.
Mike, that Minnesota-Houston matchup, I mean, it's 1 week, but it's a referendum league. That I feel like that went a long way to sort of explaining some stuff at how good, maybe bona fide Minnesota is, and we're going to have to take it seriously. And that Houston, still good, but what the hell was that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you went up against a really good defensive coordinator in Brian Flores. You know, he sends a lot of pressure, you know, and he knows how to make very good quarterbacks look very, you know, not very good. And then, look, Sam Darnold continues to prove that, hey, maybe this isn't a fluke. It maybe just took time and him landing in the right situation. I really thought that we were going to see them, the Vikings, really struggle this year. But, you know, they really have a chance. You know, it's a competitive division. Injuries kind of changed some things, but who would have thought that Green Bay would win two games without Jordan Love? So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. And look, I think that, you know, we saw the week before last, Houston, they moved the ball all right, but then against Chicago's defense, they really struggled in the second half. So they have some things they still have to work out. They're still trying to get on the same page, C.J. Stroud with some of his wide receivers and things like that. So I think they're going to be okay, but they've got some things they got to work on to shore up and make sure that he's protected well.
Jonesy, I remember when Matt LaFleur got hired in Green Bay, me and you were on the phone, dude. And we were like, really? Matty's going to get to coach Aaron Rodgers. He's getting like this hallmark institutional organization, Green Bay. And we were thrilled for him because he's the nicest guy in the world. He's the hardest worker in the world. Like, yeah. You could see Sean McVay being a superstar. You could see Kyle Shanahan being a superstar. We were kind of curious. Like, all right, let's hope for the best, but we'll see. Matt LaFleur is awesome with Rodgers. He's been awesome with Love, and with Love out the last 2 weeks, he's mixing potions like a high school coach on a Friday night with Malik Willis. Like, Matt LaFleur is a dude.
Dude, Matt LaFleur, his last year in L.A., I was talking to him pregame in the tunnel, and I said, man, like, this is great. You're next, man. And he was like, man, I'm not a head coach. I don't know if I want that, you know. And then he went to, you know, Tennessee, and, you know, I said something to him at the combine. He's like, I don't know. And his first press conference, remember, I mean, how painful that was? And it was still – but this dude, everybody who'd worked with him knew he was really sharp, really smart. I don't know that anybody expected that, okay, yes, you had Aaron Rodgers, but now he has shown he is really good at game planning, really good at X and O-ing, and finding a way to accentuate a player's strengths and put them in positions to succeed. Because look, I don't know, the Titans thought Malik Willis was pretty bad if they passed up, you know, keeping him to keep, you know, rolling with Will Levis, who is terrible, you know, and they did not see redeeming qualities in Malik Willis. And Matt LaFleur is cooking it up for him, and he looked, you know, like a serviceable quarterback the first game, good game manager. We saw him take more steps forward and look like a competent NFL quarterback this past game. It's just really, like I said, hats off to Matt LaFleur. The guy is sharp. I remember talking to Mike Shanahan about him when he had gotten that job, and he said nobody is more detail-oriented than him, which I thought was crazy because – We knew Sean is very detail-oriented, but he really was really proud of and high on Matt's chances of succeeding as a head coach because he saw how much he paid attention to the tiny details when he prepared and taught and coached his players.
Just a ho-hum 674 winning percentage since taking over. Mike, thank you, buddy, as always.
Thanks. I'll see you guys.
We'll see you, man. Hit that local 53 sounder. Michael Phillips joins us to discuss that local 53 at Michael P in RVA, the Richmonder, and our sister station 910, the Fan down in the capital of the Commonwealth. Michael, that was pretty fun on Monday.
We devoted the entire two-hour show Tuesday just to the Jaden Daniels to Terry McLaurin pass. It was considering the stakes, considering the game, considering the moment. I believe the best single individual play that the Commanders Washington Redskins football team has made in at least the last decade.
It was an unbelievable throw. I mean, the next-gen stats, 10% chance of it being completed. The more I watch it, the more I marvel about it. It was his throw of the game, obviously. He had a couple of really impressive throws, though. The deep shot to McLaurin earlier in the game for 55 was pretty amazing as well. What about Cliff Kingsbury? I mean, without taking any credit away from Daniels, like when he needed to make the miraculous throw, he did. But I'd say 90% of the throws on a night where he completed 91% passes were kind of designed pretty well for him with open receivers in big spots.
Oh, big mark so far for sure. And, you know, everybody's got the iPads on the sideline now. Like the defense goes back to the sideline, they watch the iPads. Cliff is coaching to the iPad. Every drive, you just watch, and he throws something at them that's brand new, a new formation, a new look, a new wrinkle. He had one where the two guards both, like, instead of pulling, like, pulled in and created an interior run. He does something where the defense is going to have to go back to the sideline, going to have to put on, you know, hit the button on their iPad and say, what the hell was that? We'd never seen that. We weren't ready for that. And then they're going to have to spend a few minutes preparing for that. And then they might see it again, but they might not see it again over the course of a game, which I've really enjoyed just the way he, you know, hearing Mike talk about LaFleur and Shanahan and McVay and those guys, the way they call offenses, I think generally, is with a very nice flow. I think they go into the game saying, I want to do A, and it's going to lead to B, and it's going to lead to C. I watched Cliff Kingsbury, and I think he's just on a Wheel of Fortune board. He's just pulling letters down and at random. There's no flow to it, and I think it's perfect.
So here's the bad news. No Austin Ekeler this week. We know that. I think that's an enormous loss, even an underrated loss. I know it's not a huge volume of touches, but his per-touch effectiveness is unlike anybody else on this roster. How big of a loss is it going into a game? You'd think you probably need to score a bunch of points to win.
Well, I've tipped my hand on what I thought the biggest play was Monday. I thought the second biggest play Monday was his kickoff return to start the second half, right? Second half, momentum can swing coming out of the locker room. Bengals certainly felt good about what they were accomplishing offensively. It was very important to put points on the board on that drive and all the drives that turned out. But that kickoff return set up what you knew would be a scoring drive, brought the momentum right back out of halftime, kept the Bengals from seizing any of it. I loved it. I'm also a big fan, and I don't know in depth about the injury, but I think this is the right move long-term for Austin Ekeler. You don't need to fly him across the country twice and have him be playing in a short week. Whatever the status is, this is the right call. You need him down the line because, as you mentioned, he is a transformational player when he gets the ball in his hands.
Michael Phillips in Richmond, the Richmonder, if you want your news done the right way in Richmond. And, of course, Odyssey down there, our sister station. Thank you, buddy. Be good.
Absolutely.
See you, man.
That is your Beltway Blitz. We'll blitz the division coming up on Grant and Danny at 5 o'clock on the Fan. I want to dive into the defensive struggles against Cincinnati and what can be done for Washington. But the news of the day is that Austin Ekeler is going to be out against the Cardinals. Just how much will that change this offense? Let's get into that next on the Fan.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life. But that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We took a dive around the NFL at 3 o'clock today. Broke down all of the teams that are 3-0 and the three clubs that have yet to win as well. If you missed that conversation, you can podcast it at thefandc.com when we are done. All of our football coverage today is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on iPhone 16 Pro. The iPhone 16 dropped, Danny.
That's unbelievable.
Are you one of these guys that keeps up with the iPhones and you just get the next one ASAP?
I'm not that quick on it. I mean, I will get a new one eventually because I beat up my phones. Not like going to drop them and break them sort of way, but the like all the things you're not supposed to do, which is like leave it charged overnight. I run the battery down and all that other kind of stuff. So I'll be in the market pretty soon.
I'm old enough to remember when you would break an iPhone every time you dropped it. Now, I didn't have one at that time, but everyone I knew had the cracked iPhone screen.
Yeah.
And it was just because they dropped it once. I haven't had a cover on my iPhone in months.
It's amazing. I mean, you're just tempting fate. Now, with as much as you use your phone?
I've dropped it probably 30 times. It's a little bit cracked at the top. I've got the little, like, looping crack, but it's not growing or anything.
Mm.
My situation is basically that when it breaks for keeps, like, it's actually bad on the screen, then I'll go get another one or whatever. Probably won't be a 16. I don't think I'm in the market for a 16. I'll get whatever this thing is. But, yeah, I don't know why. Like, I remember when I had a Droid, I used to make fun of iPhone people. This was probably a decade ago. The second you dropped your phone, doesn't matter if you dropped it on just a big foam pillow, and the phone had three covers on it, it was going to break.
It cracked, yeah.
iPhones, more durable now. I'm proof of this.
Because it used to be you had to have that like OtterBox thing, where
yes.
Like the phone itself weighed not that much, but it weighs four times as much because it's got like this Fort Knox thing around it just to prevent adults like me from dropping it.
I carry my iPhone like I'm Tiki Barber without a cover.
Just high and tight.
Still fine. Darius, the iPhone 16 is out. You had something on that?
Well, I was just going to say that I get joned on so hard because I still have an iPhone 8, which is, I mean, maybe like 8 years ago now?
At this point?
Probably more than that, right?
That you got, or have you gotten a new one since and stuck with the 8?
I have the same phone that I have had since I purchased it so many years ago.
I wish I was more of an iPhone guy to even be able to like enjoy what this conversation is, what an 8 is versus a 16 versus a 12 versus a 4. I have no idea. At my heart, really, I'm still a Droid guy. I just have an iPhone so that I can FaceTime my kids when I'm away in Cincinnati with Danny.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much the whole reason.
And not turn the chat green. Like, to not ruin the chat.
I used to think that was outrageous that everyone cared about that, and now as an iPhone guy, I've become snobby about that too.
Mm-hmm.
It does infuriate me when I can't name my group chat and post a picture, but they're changing all those rules, you know that.
Yeah, the crossover's coming. This is, I mean, if I can say this, Sony and Microsoft working it out for cross-platform play really built the bridge here so that rival companies can acknowledge, okay, fine, everybody still texts each other.
Well, I don't know why this was important enough to care about. And I won't dare name the senator who I saw complaining about this.
Oh.
Because it might be someone people don't like.
But keep in mind, we're on your team.
Yeah, whatever you think, I think.
We agree with you. And I'm outraged by that outrageous thing.
In fact, your opinion on that senator is one I share.
Yeah,
for
same.
The record. I'm not going to tell you who it is.
Totally.
We're in lockstep on that senator.
Yep.
But anyway, I saw like a commercial about it. About like, I almost did an impression of that senator. But I would never do an impression of that senator. But the point of the dude's story is, Danny, that...
Senator what? What was it? Senator?
It's not important.
Oh, okay. What state?
I think... Danny, we're not going to talk about the senator.
Okay.
But I do now agree, like, it's at a point where I will not include someone on a text group who might give a little more to the text group that might be fun to have in the group if everyone else is blue.
Yeah.
Because now I can't name it. Mm-hmm. I can't drag it to the top of my phone with a picture.
Yep.
It's just, it's an annoying, like, eight, you know, it's just their initials.
Totally.
Awful. It's awful looking.
Yeah, we've been beating this drum to you for years, and you finally converted.
But this is my point about the senator.
Uh-huh.
It's not their fault. It's Apple's fault, and it's iPhone's fault, mm-hmm. more than anything else, in my opinion. Because what they're getting rid of is like the, oh, there, you droid, we'll have a different color. You can't interact with us. And they're like, this is stupid. You're just making people do your thing by not adjusting and having the same technology and abilities as everybody else. So you're basically shaming Android users.
That's right.
And like legally, I could be making this up a little bit.
Industry term, legal shaming. That's real legal jargon.
No, but I mean, like legally, they're going to the company and being like, you can't do this anymore. You have to. It has to operate with everyone so that green bubble people don't get excluded from conversations. That's what's happening.
I know.
And pretty crazy. Like,
it is nuts that it's gotten to that level, by the way.
Maybe this senator should focus on something else. Like, maybe. Again, I agree with you on the senator.
I mean, I'm with you. We're both with you.
But that's
that green bubble struggle
that.
Right there, dude. That's
just
what it is.
It seems like it's not that big. Like, it's a funny thing to talk about.
Yeah.
Probably not that big of a deal, really.
Like it's on a list, but the list is really long.
You need to have 200 items on that list of things that need to be fixed in your life before... Mm-hmm. There should be no green and blue text messages.
Yeah, it's a minor inconvenience. Like there's like a neighborhood group, right? Where all our kids are around the same age or whatever. And so it's annoying when you think there's new information in the group and it's simply just one of these green chat people that they liked something or they laughed at something from like 6 months ago and it finally just got to the chat. And so it's like, then it repeats the message over again. Mm. So instead of like with when you have the correct iPhone and like, say, Darius hearts something, or he thumbs up something. It just shows the message with a little thumb up, saying, oh, Darius did it. Darius liked it. The green folks, what they do is it somehow repeats the whole message.
Yeah.
And it's like, Steve liked this, and then the whole thing repeats itself. It's so irritating.
It's aesthetically gross.
It's so gross.
And I have some type of disorder, probably like an OCD or something. But like the aesthetics of things really matter to me.
Yeah.
So on Twitter, as an example, I hate the quote retweet. I think it looks terrible, right? So I will often just like either retweet or credit with a thought. Like, just saw this from so-and-so. But I think that the look just ruins the feed.
Mm.
Same with like posting a video. I'll do the thing where you just like grab the video. Then you can repost it. It gives them the credit on the bottom or whatever. But it just looks cleaner. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
I don't want you ruining my feed with your weird Danny accentuated your text or whatever the hell the words
yeah,
are.
Like, what does that mean?
Also, enough with that response. I hate that when people do that. Like, hey, man, I'll be there in 5 minutes. The confirmed, 2 exclamation point, the heart button. Use words. Got it. Confirmed.
Oh, you don't like the thumbs up? Like, hey, I got it. Sounds
Roger
good.
Roger that. 10-4. Bet. Bet's probably the hip one, the cool one. Well,
that's what my 6-year-old says now.
Bet.
I told him this morning.
No.
Yeah, I said, let's hey, buddy, go. It's time to brush those teeth. Let's get those teethies. Like, you know, you're trying to just encourage him to get up.
Yeah, the teethies.
Yeah, and he goes, bet. I went, oh, okay.
That is great.
All right. Okay. I don't know if I'm ready for that, sir.
How old's your kid?
6.
This is what I would have done. Sitting at the table.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking over it. Is it, were we talking Bill or Byron?
Byron.
Byron says bet. I would have looked at him.
Uh-huh.
I'd open my mouth and I would have belted out.
And he would have been like, man, I miss you, Brian Peck.
He
miss you, buddy.
Sweet, sweet boy, Brian Peck.
Miss that guy.
iPhone 8, by the way, was from 2017. So that's how old my
it's
phone is.
It's not that
is.
Bad.
It's not that old.
It's not terrible.
I would have said it's like Robert Griffin's rookie year.
So, by the way, that means in 7 years, we've had 8 new iPhones.
Yeah.
That's an outrageous pace. That's ridiculous. Again, that's uncalled for.
It's like more than Marvel films.
That is unnecessary. So, if you're keeping up with the Benjamins, on an average of more than once per year, you need the latest thing. Now, most people probably are not going to get the newest, latest iPhone, I would imagine. But I see those lines.
Yeah.
I see the local news doing the same bit every 8 months mm-hmm. where they're like, Frederick just walked out of the store. In Frederick, no less. That's fun. Frederick, what'd you think of the new iPhone? He's like, I just bought it. I'll tell you in a few minutes. I haven't opened it yet. She's like, but give us your thoughts. And he's like, yeah, again, I haven't opened it yet, but how long did you wait out front? And he's like, yeah, I actually just walked up. There was no line. But give us a better answer. And he's like, 2 hours. And she's like, that'll work. Back to you.
Like, back to you.
They do the same thing every time.
Yeah, that story writes itself. And they love telling it, by the way.
Lock. I promise you're going to see this. Is tonight the night for the iPhone? It's going to be like snow coverage.
Mm-hmm. No, I believe it actually came out last Thursday, and I saw the Apple store in Clarendon. It was like wrapped around the side of the building. Like, it was insane. They had like little ropes there to cross off.
I'll bet all the money, all the TV cameras were set up doing stand-ups right outside. Did you see any cameras out front?
I did not see any cameras out front. I mean, it was the middle of the day, like on a weekday, so like people should be working, but they weren't. It was literally a block-long line, so...
How long till Danny Huhe has the 16? Because I feel like you update your file on these iPhones.
Yeah, I don't have the I've got to get the newest one right away thing. I have buddies that do. I'm not. Like, is I just I am not as
what
much
if it
of
was a pickleball racket.
Then I need that. But I'm not as much of I need my iPhone to work. Like, in other words, as long as it's working and I don't have too many inconveniences. Like, the reason I finally got rid of my last one, it was like every time I wanted to do anything, it's like, hey man, you're out of memory. Hey. You, right there. Pudgy, zilch, you're out of memory. You're not athletic anymore, and your metabolism sucks. You're out of memory. So I was like, fine. I just never want to see that again. So I upgraded to a...
Can't you just delete something?
Yeah, but every time I want to take a picture of my kid who's doing something, I got to go in and find something else I'm going to delete, and it's pain in the butt.
You can't, like, knock it down by half the gigs or whatever to not have that problem?
Yeah, but you're doing that all the time. And it's so annoying, and you got to upload photos to your computer to keep them, and then you're not sure if you got them.
So you're just going to buy a new phone instead?
Yeah, to never see that again, because it's an unbelievable pain in the butt. So that's why I got one with, I go, give me the most memory you can get. So I never want to deal with that crap again.
So you may not have that problem.
And I don't have the problem. And I'm not close to that.
I'd imagine the new joints have like better cameras. That's always the thing.
Right. And that doesn't excite, I don't care about that.
I care so much about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you can get me.
Right.
I love a good camera. There's these cameras now. I don't think it's an iPhone versus a Droid thing. I think it could be both. I don't really know. But where you can zoom in. For miles, you know,
right.
like you're like you're the American sniper or something. Like, you are sitting on a building and you just keep going. You know, you do the move like Danny does on Instagram when he's looking at, certainly not models, but whatever it is that you look at on Instagram, it would not be any models.
Fitness influence people.
But you do the thumb and the pointer finger and you pull them apart while touching the screen to zoom.
To really get a good look at the fitness.
And all of the, it's like the workout that they're doing.
Yeah.
Probably, and the pickleball playing.
Yeah,
but anyway, you
zoom
do that,
in
like
on that
10 times. You just keep going and going and going.
Yep.
Like, true story, Danny zoomed in on our hotel in Cincinnati from his house today. And you can just see like people walking around just from your camera while you're about to take a picture.
Just from the camera.
I think that's probably the difference, but maybe there's other stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, they're always trying to like do different things to try to make you need to know. Because remember, it's like with TVs. Like, TVs have gotten so good that, remember, a couple years ago, they're like, you know what you need? A curved television. If you don't have a curved television, you don't have a TV.
I was almost a sucker.
Yeah.
I was this close to buying a curved TV for my basement.
Because now that's going to be the next thing. It's like, do you have 4K tracking? Your TV doesn't have 4K tracking? You might as well not even watch the game?
Yeah.
Do you have dynamic read? Did I make that one up or is that real? You don't know. Like, they always, because TVs are now so good and they're so easy to produce that, you know, you get an awesome one for whatever. It's $500, $600, $700.
Yep.
And they need to get you to buy new TVs, so they got to come up with like the latest gimmick. It's the same thing with phones, any kind of tech.
Austin Eckler is not going to play against the Cardinals. He's already been ruled out. How damaging a loss will that be for Washington's offense, and how will they operate as effectively as they have been without him? What's the game plan going to be to replace him? That's next on G&D.
Yeah, we'll be Austin won't make it, you know, for the game. And it's the right call for him, not on our short week to go. We'll have a chance to see what next week looks like then. But we do have a lot of confidence. It's one of the groups that we have a deep crew that can roll strong. And so when called upon, we're certainly ready to do that. And we're also excited for Jay Mack. He's somebody, you know, hasn't got a lot of touches, a lot of opportunities. But I do know that he is somebody when given those chances, he does not miss his ops.
Dan Quinn announcing that Austin Ekeler would not play for the Commanders Sunday in Arizona. No wasting time with that announcement. Already comes down the pike on Wednesday. My guess is they're not even going to fly him out there then. No reason, right? I mean, why would he even join the team? He will join this show, though, on Friday at 5 p.m. So he'll be in Virginia, presumably, when we talk to him and get ready for the Commanders and the Cardinals on a Football Friday here on Grant and Danny. He mentioned J-Mac. That's Jeremy McNichols. He barely played at all in San Francisco last year. A couple of snaps on special teams, never touched the football. He's already had one more run here in Washington than he had with the Niners. That was on Monday night, filling in for Ekeler. But he had two seasons in a row in Tennessee in 2020 and 2021 where he had over 40 carries. He averaged 4.3 yards per carry in 2020, 3.8 yards per carry in 2021. I think they'll use him quite a bit, actually, in the Ekeler role. Not as many snaps as Austin would get, but on those important downs with pass protection, he had a monster blitz pickup with a decleater against a linebacker, actually on the play where Jaden took the shot and threw the touchdown to Terry McLaurin to win the game. I think they trust him in pass pro. He can catch the football a little bit. You know he can run it because it's what he's done his entire career and his entire life. So for all those reasons, Danny, I think he's going to play plenty, but this will be the Brian Robinson show to me. You maybe don't use him on third down. You're going to try to spell him, obviously. You're going to have him thump on early downs. But I'll bet you Robinson, if they stay ahead of schedule and game script is how they want and they're closer leading, he's going to be close to 20 rushes, probably 5 or 6 catches.
Yeah, I would think 20 touches in the cards.
I think I'll take the overall. I mean carries. I think he'll be over 20, close to 20 carries. Over 20 touches for me, close to 25 maybe. I think it's going to be a big-time B-Rob day.
Yeah, if they're successful, if they're staying on the field as they have been, if they're staying ahead of the chains, there wasn't a lot of early down running success for Washington this past week. You know, Robinson only, I think, to the tune of like 2 and change per carry. You know, hard yards, though, in a lot of ways, right? And those are necessary to kind of set up everything else. But I think you're going to see a steady diet of Brian Robinson early and often. And I was surprised. He didn't catch a ton of passes once Ekeler went out. I thought you'd see a couple of those things, those kind of swing passes or kind of keeping easy stuff on early downs instead of trying to thump down the middle. But there was a plan, a method to that madness, certainly.
I'd like to see them spread Arizona out and still have that short passing game going even without Ekeler when not with B-Rob or McNichols, involving the tight ends a little more. Like maybe this is Ben Sinnott. Remember, let's not forget, Sinnott's got some H-back to him.
Mm-hmm.
He is a tight end, but he also can play that fullback role a little bit. You could go split eye and get him into the flat, Larry Center style. You could have him in motion and then a line behind the tackle like a wing or whatever.
Yeah, some of those eye formation then kind of shuffles and looks like it's a lead block, but it's not. And you know, you work off the different looks.
There's a lot of different ways, I think, that they could get him out into space. He has not caught a pass yet. He's been open plenty, including in this game, early in the game. Now, we talked about this yesterday. Jaden Daniels, because he picks up a handful every time he runs or occasionally will throw it elsewhere, and pretty much all the plays that he made and they made worked out. It didn't matter that he missed Sinnott on a couple of occasions way down the field. I think Aikman even on the broadcast showed a couple of them and said, hey, I know this guy isn't doing anything yet, and Commanders fans are kind of wondering where he is, but just know on the tape, he's open more often than you think. I was saying the same thing last week at this time about Luke McCaffrey.
About McCaffrey, yeah.
He was number 3 among all wide receivers via PFF in separation score, and he popped one for 40 on a 4th-and-2, which was a great play by Daniels. That was not the design of that play, by the way. To find him was awesome. And he had another catch later in the game, again, where he kind of got some separation. But I think we could see Sinnott without Ekeler having 2 or 3 catches for the first time, and they could use him a little more in that H-back, fullback role as a pass catcher.
Yeah, someone's got to make up for those Ekeler touches, right? And it could be the... Do we force feed for the sake of argument? Do we feed Robinson more? Do we feed McLaurin more? Noah Brown more? Or do we kind of go against type, something we haven't shown just yet, which you just saw this past week? And if there are more tricks in the bag, the easy button is having Austin Ekeler do it, right? like, so there's two ways that I think of offense as easy, and I put that in quotes. Easy is you've got a home run threat where you throw it as far as you can and DeSean Jackson goes and catches it. That's easy, right? Tyreek Hill makes offense easy for teams because defenses are threatened. He can either take it to the house or the threat of him doing so opens stuff up. Then there's the my two-yard dump-off goes for 8. My check down goes for 14, right? That's what Eckler does. And that's, I wouldn't say as valuable, but close to me, right? Of staying ahead of the chains. It's those hidden yards. There's nothing sexy about Austin Eckler catching a screen and going for 14. Well, those are huge drive-sustaining plays that are afterthoughts in a game where we saw the throws to Terry McLaurin and, you know, some of those fourth downs and this and that. That a 2nd and 10 becomes a 1st down because Eckler wiggled his way through 17 different people, broke a tackle, carried 2 dudes forward, and gets a 1st down.
Yeah.
Just right in the middle of the field. Like, those kinds of hidden plays, it makes everybody look smart. And that's the easy offense.
The first drive of the game was the Eckler show.
Mm-hmm.
7 yard plus, probably closer to 8, run on 1st down. Catch for the 1st down getting play on 2nd and short. Back-to-back plays, 10-plus yards, chains moved, and now you're almost at midfield. That's the other funny thing with this new kickoff rule. When you start at the 30, we were talking about this, you get one 14 or so-yard completion in the middle of the field, you're basically at midfield in one play. It doesn't feel like the 5-yard closer to midfield rule change would make a big difference, but it absolutely has. But then the screen to Eckler later on that drive that you're referencing was huge, and then he had the 24-yard touchdown later in the half. I mean, there were 2 drives that were basically his.
So here's your opening drive. You reference this, but here's the specifics. Eckler right tackle, 8 yards to start the game. Eckler, short right pass to the same side for 8 yards. There's your 16, and all of a sudden, to your point, you're just shy of midfield.
1st and 10 at the 46.
1st and 10 at the 46. Brian Robinson, no gain. That was the theme of the day. They tried to thump him inside, and there was not much happening there. So now you're 2nd and 10. Again, those are difficult situations for any offense to be in, let alone one with a rookie quarterback and the whole yin and the yang and the blah, blah, blah.
You need 4 there to feel like 3rd down is manageable.
How about 14? Austin Eckler, little hitch, little screen pass, little bubble, whatever you want to call it. Call it a smoke. I don't care. But he turned a pass at the line of scrimmage into a 14-yard 1st down.
Now
you're in Cincy territory.
Making people miss
yes.
the play you're talking about. And now you're 1st and 10 from the Bengals' side of the field.
Mm-hmm.
And where were they there? It was like they're 45.
See, they're 40.
Oh, they're 40. So, yeah. So, I mean, we're talking, you're basically 5 yards away from field goal range on 3 Eckler plays to start the game. And you've asked very little to nothing from your quarterback yet. He's thrown 2 balls behind the line of scrimmage
exactly.
to a running back and handed the ball off. And you are now in field goal range almost. And it came that easily for much of the night. But the easy button goes away in Arizona with no Austin Eckler. I think B-Rob can do some of that. Remember, he had the 30-yard catch and run to the goal line
mm-hmm.
in Tampa, so he's got that club in the bag still, I think, as a pass catcher. And I won't pretend to know what McNichols is capable of because I just haven't seen enough of him. We haven't seen really any of him in that regard in this offense. Next on Grant and Danny, let's blitz the East. We'll check in on the other teams in the division. I still want to play that Aaron Rodgers audio on Jaden Daniels. He was immensely impressed by the young quarterback. We'll let you hear what one of the best quarterbacks to ever live said about Daniels. At 5:25 today, coming up in a half hour. This is The Fan.